mighty happy to be here. Good to see old friends, isn't it? Oh, my. Turn this morning in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. I'm having you turn in your Bibles to the very first time that the word sweet is used in the Scriptures. We're going to talk about sweetness this morning. The sweet of the Scriptures. Now, by nature, we have no ability, none at all, to tell the difference spiritually between sweet and bitter. Now, there's nothing wrong with these taste buds on our tongue. All right, in Genesis 8, verse, you turn there with me, and we're going to talk about sweet this morning. And we have no ability by nature to tell the difference between sweet and bitter. There's nothing wrong with these taste buds. I remember the first time that we tried to feed little Luke some solid food. And boy, he went for the strained carrots and the beets he liked real well. And then, boy, Becky gave him a spoonful of strained peas. And it went something like this. It went everywhere. And she was like, well, let's try that again. And gave him another spoonful of it. And it was everywhere. And we looked at each other and both stuck our finger in it and tasted it. And we both went, it was awful. I mean, they were so bitter. They didn't taste good. There's nothing wrong with our physical taste buds. But boy, spiritually, our taste buds are a real mess. We have a tendency to always think that the bitter is sweet and that the sweet is bitter. And you see in Genesis 8, verse 21, begin in verse 20. This is Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. This was after the flood and the ark had come to rest. And they came out of the ark and Noah built an altar unto the Lord. And he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor from this sacrifice. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. By nature, let's be honest. The old man, all of us by nature, do not understand or much less embrace what we just read here in the Scriptures. God finds sweetness, listen to me, in the death of a clean beast. God found sweetness, it says here, in the death of a clean animal. By nature, that we don't get that, do we? We do not see that. That seems so bitter to take a little lamb who's spotless and cut its throat and watch it bleed to death. And put it on fire and burn it up. That's not very sweet to us, is it? That's repugnant to us by nature. When Adam fell, what's wrong with us? When Adam fell, he disobeyed God and he died spiritually, which means that he lost his ability to discern between spiritual sweetness and spiritual bitterness. In mercy, God left us with a conscience. Aren't we glad for that? That this still small voice when it comes to us. Aren't we glad our children, even our children, hear that still small voice saying, don't do that. Don't do that. God is so good in mercy that He doesn't let our nature just run wild all the time perpetually. But by nature, we don't have the ability to discern between good and evil. We think evil's good, and we think good is evil. By nature, none of us will regard the spiritually sweet of God. It'll always be bitter to us. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Left alone, all of us will spend our entire life running after things we think are sweet, only to find out that in the end they're oh so bitter. You ever give one of your children a Christmas present and they beg for it? They said, oh, I want this, I want this, I want this. And it just went on and on and on. So you got it for them. And boy, they tore the package open and looked at it. And they played with it, what, maybe 30 seconds? And wham, it went in the corner. What they thought was going to be so sweet is now it doesn't mean anything to them. It's bitter to them. You and I are the same way, aren't we? And we need to be aware of the fact that the Scriptures do teach us this principle. We ought not give our life to something that we think is sweet when in fact the Scripture says it's bitter. What's the root of all evil? The love of money. And boy, it has its attraction to us by nature, doesn't it? And if we're not careful, we'll give ourselves to the pursuit of houses and lands and all the things that don't matter. That in the end, they're going to be burnt up. And they'll be bitter to us, even when we get them. So the Scriptures do teach that, but there's an even more important lesson here. In Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. For there'll be many. All that cometh is vanity. It doesn't matter how sweet the little thing. Don't we like it when our children first come, Mommy, 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 run to us, and we swoop them up, and they laugh and giggle, and it's so pleasant. Well, it's just a matter of time till a darker day is coming when they'll just act like you're just as dumb as a rock and won't have anything to do with you. They'll break. Henry said very early on, he said, you love your children, he said, but they will break your heart. Just a matter of time. So the day, there's all lots of days of darkness. There's sickness, there's heartache, there's disappointment. All these things will come. And therefore, those are natural. And we ought not put our heart into those things, give ourselves to them overly much. Now look at verse 9. It says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of your youth, and walk in ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. We ought to be a happy people. We ought to be. God's good to us all. And we ought to rejoice in the goodness of our God and in the daily blessings and things that we enjoy. Friendship, fellowship. But know that for all these things, God will bring unto thee judgment. That's why you need to bring your children here so they understand life's just not all going to the amusement park and having a good time and playing sports and doing all these things. There's a day of judgment coming. Verse 10 says, therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are nothing but vanity. If God never reveals Himself to us, if He doesn't show us Christ, we'll act like children our whole lives, just running after the silliest things, won't we? All right, let's find Isaiah chapter 5. A little further over to Isaiah chapter 5. And this principle I'm talking about is what makes false religion so seductive and dangerous. It sounds good. It appeals to the flesh, doesn't it? You think about what they're saying in our day on television. You know, you do the best you can. Just do the best you can. It'll work out. They say God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody. That sounds good. Sounds sweet, doesn't it? God prospers His people. He gives them wealth and prosperity. He gives them money. Then they say, you give and God will give you tenfold. That sounds good, doesn't it? says, I know every place has its own brand of this. Around here, I know they have this little thing about where if you grow a beard and wear a certain kind of hat or a bonnet and drive a dark car, it's going to be okay. And that's so foolish. It's going to end in such a bitter way. There's no truth in it. But the problem, you see, is what false religion does in Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. False religion is telling a lie about God and His Christ and what He's done, who He's done it for, and why He did it, where He is now. It's making evil good, bitter sweet, and it's a lie. Now turn back just a page or so to Isaiah 3. My message today is that God is good and we're evil. God is sweet and we're bitter. God is light and we're darkness. I'm sorry, that's just the truth. And false religion may sound good. They may look good to us. This business of looking good, when you think about who you see on television, these false prophets now, what they look like. Here's a description in Isaiah 3 of verse 16. It's always been this way. Look what the false prophets in Isaiah's day looked like. Here's what the women. You see so many women on the television, don't you now? And they look pretty good and they're saying a lot of things. Look what it says about them here. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. I watch them and they're so arrogant and act like they know everything, and they make it sweet. You want to see what they're like? I mean, this guy, Joel Osteen, you see him? I don't know how much that suit costs, but it looks good. And I don't know, you know, what he does to his hair, but it looks a lot better than mine does this morning. And he's got that big gold, and he's got the whole world revolving around him in the background, doesn't he? And he looks at you with those intense eyes, and the just butter just drips off his tongue and his mouth. He sounds like these women back then, doesn't he? Let me tell you how this is going to end up. Have you got verse 24? It shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, they're going to be a stink. Instead of a girdle, that is, instead of looking real good in that suit, okay, it's going to be a shredded garment, going to be torn up. Instead of well-set hair, it's going to be baldness. And instead of a stomacher, that's a fine altogether look, okay, you're going to look like you came out of the grave, grave clothes, and burning instead of beauty. Do we see where the end of all that false religion is? And we're to be warned by that. That which is bitter is not sweet. All right, turn to Psalm 119 with me. And I realize, except for the grace of God, we'll all run after that false religion because it sounds good. But God in His mercy does reveal His sweetness to His people. He reveals to us who Christ is, and then who we are by His Word. If you got Psalm 119, find verse 103. How does God distinguish to His people the true difference between sweet and bitter? How sweet are Thy words unto my taste. Once God gives us life, boy, His Word tastes good. Does anybody else here remember? I remember as a kid being drugged to church and sitting there and going, is He going to read out of that book again? I just didn't want to hear it. You couldn't hardly make me pick up a Bible and read anything in it because it was bitter to me. It didn't taste good. But He said, how sweet are Thy words unto my taste? Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. through thy precepts, through thy truth, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. The only way we ever learn to distinguish between the bitter and the sweet is by the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by His Word. All right. Turn back a little bit to Psalm 104. When by faith, God's people, we see ourselves as the bitter sinners we are, then we also see Christ as the sweet Savior. In Psalm 104, have you got verse 33? Psalm 104, verse 33 says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I'll sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I'll be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. What's the difference between when I was a kid and couldn't stand the Word and now can't get enough of it? Why is it that those of you, I'm sure there was a time when a lot of us, we didn't want to be here. We had to be drugged here. We had to be made to come, what have you. And now you can't be drugged out of here. You can't be run off. I used to hate it when the preacher would say something about a sinner. What is that? That sounds ugly and nasty, and I'm not one of them. I'm a good kid. My parents tell me I am. And then one day, we see who we are, and we see who the Lord Jesus Christ is. It's, oh, woe is me, woe is me. And how glorious is the Lord Jesus Christ. How bitter I am and how sweet He is. When He reveals Himself to us, that's what happens. Now, the revelation of who and what we are, sinners, dead in trespasses and sin, it's a bitter pill, isn't it? It's a bitter pill. But the revelation of Christ and who He is, the living Savior of God's people, that's the sweet cure. Proverbs chapter 24. Turn over there with me. Proverbs chapter 24. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is so sweet. When we hear it, we want others to hear it then, don't we? Once you taste the sweet of Christ, you want more and more of it. You just can't get enough. Ice cream sort of loses its, not completely, but ice cream loses some of its sweetness to us compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that used to allure us so much, the love of money, that's the only cure there is the sweetness of Christ. Is to see the bitter of that affection and see the sweetness of His affection. Proverbs 24. You see, the gospel of Christ is so sweet when we hear it. We want others to hear it, especially our children. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 13. My son. Is there anybody here who has a son? You don't want them to hear this? It's desperately we want our sons and our daughters to hear this, don't we? My son, eat thou honey because it's good. And the honeycomb, which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto your soul. When thou hast found the Lord Jesus Christ, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. You see, what's the reward in accumulating all the money in the world, all the stuff in the world? What's it lead to? It leads to judgment. It leads to the end. Judgment. What's the result, the reward of finding the Lord Jesus Christ? We have all. Now we got it all. We've got all the sweetness, all the joy, all the peace, all the contentment. We have all and in all if we have Christ. And we see things in their true perspective. And you notice that word reward is not plural. There are no rewards in heaven. I saw a billboard coming up the road yesterday in Florida that said, God's plan pays big dividends. And I thought, boy, now there's a hunk of false religion. dividends? First of all, it's not a plan. It's a purpose. God's purposed what He does. He didn't plan it the way we do and say, well, I hope this works out. No, He established His purpose, which is that Christ will be glorified, and it's going to come to pass. And it's not dividends, as if we put in something and hope to get a lot more back. No, we put nothing in. If we put something in, we've made the sweet into bitter. That's what false religion is. But no, He gives all the sweet, and we rejoice in the reward. It's not a dividend. It's a reward, and it's singular, and it's Christ. Now, remember in Genesis 8, God told Noah, take a clean animal and kill it. Sacrifice it to me, and I'll be pleased. It'll be sweet to me. Now, by nature, that does not appeal to us. But what that is a type or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ was an innocent, clean man. The only one that ever lived. And what happened is we who are bitter, angry, took Him up Calvary and we sacrificed Him. We killed Him. We set Him on fire in that sun. And that's a type or a picture of the clean dying for the unclean. See, God said after He got the sweet smell of that sacrifice that Noah gave, He said, I'll never show My wrath again on them. I won't kill everything like that again. No siree. And to all who are in the sacrifice at Calvary, there's no judgment. That's sweet news, isn't it? That's good news. Yep. You see, if the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless, why did He die? Well, He took on Himself the sin of His people. Now, you talk about a bitter pill. It's bad enough to take a licking for what we did. But to take a licking for what every one of His children did. Oh, what a bitter pill. So why would He do this? In order to put it away. To pay the price of sin and death, a clean man died for the unclean. God's sweet solution for our sin. Turn to Exodus 15. Here's the second time in the Scriptures that the word sweet appears. Exodus 15. See, when Christ was crucified, when He who knew no sin was made sin, so that our sin was put away, what became of the perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ? What became of His righteousness? We know He lived 33 years perfectly. He was righteous. He established this righteous life. What happened to it? They killed Him. What happened to that righteousness? Did it evaporate? Did it burn up? Did it go away? Let me show you what happened to it. In Exodus 15, verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they had crossed the Red Sea, and the Egyptians, the army had all died there, whatever. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. You ever have bitter water? You can't drink it, can you? Therefore, the name of the place was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what will we drink? And Moses cried unto the Lord, and look what the Lord said to him. The Lord showed Moses a tree, which when He had cast it into the water, the waters were made sweet. There He made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there He proved them. We understand what happened. They came up to this vast water in Marah. And everybody went to get a drink and it was... And God said, Moses, take that tree and throw it in the water. And he did. And that water was so sweet. Now that's a picture. We who by nature are nothing but bitterness. If God ever takes the man that He put on a tree at Calvary... and throws him into you? Oh, boy, that is so sweet. There'll be an eternal change. We'll be made sweet in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful picture this is. And we can change. We can be made new. We who are bitter can be sweet in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians 2, one last scripture. You and I by nature are like the waters of Marah, bitter sinners. But by casting the Lord Jesus Christ into us, we are made sweet. He is in God's people, and they're in Him. Once that occurs, it never changes. Once the tree went into the water, it was sweet forever. And once Christ, we're found in Christ and He in us, there's a change forever, eternal change. Look at 2 Corinthians 2. You see, every human being, to us all, there's going to be an end. Every time I come to visit Doris and Henry, Henry says, the end is near. He says, it won't be long. Won't be long. And I'm getting old enough where I think it's not going to be long. The end is coming to each of us. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. And that end is going to be only one of two ways. It's going to be unspeakably bitter or unspeakably sweet. Nowhere in between. Now look what the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that are perished. Notice, all the savor, whether it's bitter or sweet, is a result of where we are in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, to the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. Now, who's sufficient for these things? I can barely stand up here and talk to you about it. It's the one is so bitter, I don't want to think about it. The other is so sweet, I can't explain it to you. Can't begin to. For we, verse 17, are not as many which corrupt the word of God. That's the one. Aren't you thankful you have a pastor who will not corrupt the word of God? He won't tell you that something is sweet when it's bitter. He won't tell you something's good when it's evil. He won't tell you something that's wrong is right. He won't do it. He can't do it. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak of Christ. If a man gets up here and speaks of Christ, that's sweet enough for you, isn't it? That's plenty sweet enough for you. Gospel preachers tell the truth, the bitter truth about all men by nature, and the sweet truth about Christ, all who are in Him. All right, we'll take our break now.